Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
I, for one, was never worried. Never worried, not one time, not in this game. Down 13-3, not a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles, who are now 9-1 on the year, coming off their first loss of the season and taking care of the Indianapolis Colts 17-16. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all other social platforms at The Philly Pod. If you are new to the podcast, appreciate you guys checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your podcast. Be sure to rate 5 stars and leave those reviews. Each and every one does help with the exposure of the show. I know it's been a few weeks without an episode, but we're never gone. We're never gone for good. We're back with you guys to recap the Eagles' victory on this Victory Monday. Joining me, as always, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. It's Stephen Conrad Jr. He is my right-hand man in everything I do content-wise with the Philadelphia Eagles. He is Stephen Conrad Jr. What's going on, buddy? It's been a little bit since we got up on here and did this show, so I'm intrigued to even hear your thoughts on the Eagles in recent weeks, but at least we're able to come up here today and talk about a victory, which wasn't the case last week.
Hello, everyone. We have all experienced some very necessary adversity. Now, with that said, not everybody has handled it accordingly or correctly, in my opinion. I'm sure Vic here has his thoughts on that. But I'm glad these last 2 weeks happened. I'm glad we lost that Washington game. We deserve to lose it. As much as I would love to sit up here and complain about the officials in that game, they certainly played part in it, but we shot ourselves in the foot too much. We shot ourselves in the foot against the Colts a lot. We're going to obviously give our takeaways from the game and try our best to break it down. Even then, we shot ourselves in the foot so much against the Colts. Again, a 4-5-1 team. I understand that. and that'll be the narrative for a lot of people. Most specifically from people outside of Philly. Fans, media, right, alike. But context is a beautiful thing in this world. At the end of the day, we were down, I believe it was 10 points on the road against a team led by Jeff Saturday, who forgot it was Sunday, apparently, at the end of the game. But listen, I'm not here to like come at Jeff Saturday or anything like that, but I'm here to provide you the optics and the realism of the situation. A team that was struggling, that's fair to say, the Colts. When they fire a coach, regardless of who the interim guy is, that team tends to play with a lot more fire than what they were originally playing with. I don't know if you remember literally the first game after we fired Chip Kelly, DeMarco Murray took an under center carry for about 70 yards and a touchdown, something he didn't do all season long.
I think we all remember that. And that feeling. That was my big thing heading into this game, is that the Colts are motivated. They're under a new regime. They want to prove that they're not dead in the water. And they surely were motivated and put up a good fight in this game, as the Eagles do escape with the victory 17-16, thanks to the heroics of Jalen Hurts and his fourth quarter comeback. We'll get into that in just a second. But before we do, a shout out, as always, to the good old sponsor at DraftKings Sportsbook. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and DraftKings is ready to fill your plate with some exciting sportsbook offers. And now you can win $150 instantly. All you have to do is sign up for a new DraftKings Sportsbook account, make a deposit, and place a $5 wager on any pregame money line. And if your bet wins, you'll receive $150 in free bets instantly, in addition to any cash winnings from your original wager. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with the link in the podcast description. Gambling problem, of course, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Be sure to take advantage of that offer, guys. With obviously football on Thanksgiving and more games coming up on Sunday. So, as we all know, Jalen Hurts led the Philadelphia Eagles to their ninth victory of the season. He accounted for two touchdowns in the final period to lead his team to their first double-digit fourth-quarter comeback. Their first one in 12 years. Steven, obviously, you know when the last one was, right? Think about it now. Miracle at the Meadowlands, too, man. That was the last time It's been that long, 12 years. The first time the Eagles overcame a double-digit deficit in the fourth.
How has it been that long?
Because the Eagles haven't been down a whole lot. Well, this season,
yeah,
anyway.
That's what I mean. Again, context is a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen.
This season. Anyway, so I'll take you quickly just through the last scenario through this game, and then I'll get your thoughts, Steven, on how you were even feeling throughout that and your thoughts afterwards. So picking up from where Marcus Epps forced a fumble. Marcus Epps forces a fumble. TJ Edwards recovers it, gives the Eagles the ball. They are down 13-10. They can drive to potentially take the lead here. A.J. Brown gives it right back on a reception, and now the Colts are driving and within scoring range. Hassan Reddick comes up with a big sack to force the Colts to settle for a field goal. If that doesn't happen and the Eagles and the Colts go up 20-10, that game is pretty much all but over at that point. But the defense stood pat. We'll get into how I feel about Gannon's defense and the slander that he catches and if he deserves it in a little bit. So on the Reddick sack, no face mask. What goes around comes around. No, Reddick pulled him by his face mask. The refs didn't call it. Yep. I'm going to assume that that's a makeup call for last week. So it is what it is. And then the final drive. This is where things got confusing, really. So Hurts had an 8-yard pass to A.J. Brown. Then the 39-yard PI penalty on the bomb to Miles Sanders. When Hurts launched that ball, I didn't expect Miles Sanders to be the one on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And he straight up gets tackled. I forget who the linebacker was that tackled him, but he gets leveled, speared, and of course the flag gets thrown there. So then from there, you get five straight running plays. You get two with Miles Sanders, and then you get three straight to Boston Scott, a player who has only gotten two carries over the last 2 weeks, two combined carries over the last 2 weeks. Now we're running with him three times straight in crunch time. I don't know why this is happening. So that happens. And now you have fourth and two. Fourth and two is here. The 2-minute warning. You come out of the 2-minute warning looking like you're going for a QB sneak. A QB sneak from 2 yards out. As effective as the QB sneak is for the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not sure if I want to do it 2 yards out. So they tease that. They try to get them to draw offsides. That doesn't work. They call a timeout. So now you had the 2-minute warning. Then you burned a timeout essentially for no reason. Everybody's wondering what is going on. Hurts then picks up the first down. On a 3-yard pickup on a sneak draw, whatever you want to call it. It was a sneak that got like jumbled up, and he was able with the second effort to get the first down. And then he scores on the next play on a QB draw. And then after that, the Colts get one more possession. Brandon Graham gets the sack that essentially seals the game, forces them into fourth and long. Matt Ryan settles for the short completion, and that ends the game there. So, Steven, as you're watching this whole drive play out all the way from the A.J. Brown fumble to the Hassan Reddick sack to Hurts bombing it to Miles Sanders to then running five straight times with three of those carries being Boston Scott, what is going through your head at this time? What is your reaction even watching that drive? Did we, like, back our way into the end zone? Like, how did that drive even come to fruition at that point?
Steichen called a terrible game. And by the way, Steichen's the play caller. I see people still tweeting like, oh, Sirianni's back to his old ways or whatever. Like, terrible game plan. I have no idea what he was thinking for a majority of this game. It felt like, here's the thing, right? The narrative going around this season is this team sits at a 9-1 record. Up until this last 2 weeks, you know, they didn't trail in the second half of games. And you know, for a while, everybody was like, oh, they don't really score in the second half. Well, that's kind of turned around as we went into halftime with 3 points and did most of our scoring damage in the second half of this game. Look, just situationally, this entire game. Now, if Steichen is the play caller, as we know he is, I know he's not the only guy making decisions around here. Situationally, he was just awful in this game. That 4th and 10 that they went for was just a terrible decision to go for it there. I believe they might have been in field goal range, if I'm not mistaken.
It would have been long, very long field goal.
Fine. You have an opportunity to put points on the board. And when you look at the result of the play, Jalen Hurts, that was one of the worst decisions he's made. Probably the worst decision, in my opinion, this entire season, just running out of bounds on a 4th and 10. I have no idea. Like, just force a throw at that point. Get it down the field and treat it like a punt or something at that point. Just a terrible decision there. And you mentioned the Boston Scott. I have no clue what the mindset was there. My only guess is they were trying to catch them off guard, because when they use Scott and Gainwell, it's usually passing situations. So they're like, maybe we can sneak him in here. Not that many times in a row. They're just wasting downs at this point.
Now, when you're in victory formation, there's only one player going to run. It's not like they can fake it and pass it. Like, all the players are jumbled in one area. So I don't know if they were just trying to draw them off sides. I'm not sure. But when you're 2 yards out, I don't think a sneak is going to work in that situation.
Yeah, like, obviously a 4th and 2 is much more, like, manageable than, like, say, a 4th and 5 and all and whatever else, you know, you want to talk about here. But, and obviously having Jalen Hurts in this offensive line, you trust him in these situations. And I'm going to be honest, man, I feel like this offensive line played like garbage yesterday, too. I'll just say that right now.
Yeah,
I thought they didn't play too well. A lot of penalties. Jason Kelce had a bad snap. He had a penalty. And then obviously, like, again, this is the reality. I'm not making this as an excuse. I'm just pointing out what happened. Apparently, just Dallas Goedert not being on the field the entire game and his replacements being out there affects this offense in a lot of ways. After seeing that, and look, the Colts are a really good defense, by the way. I'm not here, like, trying to take away or anything like that. They have a very good defense. But apparently Dallas Goedert is, like, as close as being a glue guy as you can get. From the passing game to the running game, he is, like, arguably one of the most valuable players on the team, honestly.
He is. He's one of the, if not the most important piece to the offense, in my opinion. I remember at the trade deadline when I was saying, man, the Eagles might want to take a look. You got Albert O over in Denver not doing a whole lot. He can do some things for you if you lose Dallas Goedert for extended time. And everybody was being like, no, Stahl and Calcaterra, they're great. They just haven't been given chances. And I was like, man, I don't think you guys understand the drastic drop in talent that we're going to have if Dallas Goedert goes down. And now we're living in it.
Do you remember when you laughed at me when I pointed out drafting a backup for the OGs that listen to this podcast?
They did. They drafted one.
We went down a list of needs, and I remember backup tight end was, like, of course, like the third thing I had mentioned of positions of need, and he starts laughing at me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your old friend Dickrod's not even around now. He's on the Chargers, so we can't even call him.
They didn't address it.
That's why I really was asking for it at the deadline, and everybody was looking at me like, nah, we don't really need to. And now, look, Dallas Goedert does more than just catch balls for this offense. He's a good blocker.
I'm not saying pay him Zach Ertz $15 million a year, by the way. That's not the solution.
Obviously not. But Dallas Goedert being in the offense, a lot of these guys get open. Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Quez Watkins. A lot of these guys are schemed open based on the sole presence of Dallas Goedert alone. Dallas Goedert is schemed into certain ways that can, like, Jack Stahl is not attracting attention up the seam for Philadelphia's offense. Jack Stahl, Grant Calcaterra, and Tyree Jackson. I was told Tyree Jackson was the next coming of, like, Terrell Owens last training camp, and everybody's like, we got Tyree, and we're going to be fine. These three guys combined for one catch,
blocker?
For 7 yards. I don't know what he's good at yet. Stahl is the blocker. Like, Calcaterra is the vertical threat. I don't know what Tyree Jackson is.
He was just a receiver, and you feel good about that if he's, like, your third tight end. That's fine.
Yeah,
but when
Dallas Goedert's out, which he was, not as the second option behind Jack Stahl, and we had the penalties.
You got to factor in scheme too. You know, apparently, like, this offense is dependent. And again, Dallas Goedert does everything. He's a receiving threat and all that, obviously. But when you have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders, like whoever else you want to throw in there, if somebody's filling in for Goddard, I would much rather have more of a blocking tight end than a receiving tight end. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what Jack Stoll's supposed to do, but I'm pretty sure he was penalized.
No, they were both penalized. Calcaterra is called on a holding call, and Calcaterra shouldn't even be blocking. So, but the fact they had him out there blocking. So he was caught in the penalty.
Scheme.
Jack Stoll's
so
caught
I'm
on
saying.
Penalties.
They got to find somebody unless one of them can, you know, maybe this was just a lesson learned game, right?
Because it's only
Goddard's
one week.
He's out
for at least four, and it's only 1 week, so we didn't want to sit here and act like the sky is falling. But I knew that the biggest hole on his offense, you know, at the trade deadline was backup tight end, and they had to do something because that is a drastic drop off. And once you lose him, and now the Eagles have to figure out how they're going to fix that situation. You got like Eric Ebron and Jared Cook. Like, there's some free agents out there you could, you know, kick the tires on if you realize that these options right here aren't going to help us win a title right now. Then that's something that they're going to have to fit those three guys, man. Yeah, obviously these guys can't not commit penalties and not fitting the scheme. So Stoll, Calcaterra, and Tyree Jackson combined for one catch for 7 yards. We all assume that Zach Pascal would be a beneficiary of Dallas Goedert snaps because he's the better blocker. He blocks exclusively out of the slot when he's playing.
Why were we running so much like double? I felt like it felt like triple tight end sets at times.
Yeah, they tried. I don't know if this was how the game plan was supposed to go, but they thought that they could just maintain the similar sets without Dallas Goedert and yield similar results, and that was certainly not the case. But what I did like from the offense is they did run a lot of empty sets, and Jalen Hurts loves running the offense out of empty sets. So I think they implemented more of that in this game. We'll check out the All-22 when that's released to see how Jalen Hurts really came through for the Eagles in the fourth
quarter. It's a
shame
because I liked the passing game. They were running very like efficient, productive offense, and a lot of downfield stuff. It felt like I don't have it off the top of my head, but it felt like a lot of Smitty's, AJ Brown's receptions were, you know, 15 plus yards a catch. Yeah. It felt like they were really establishing it down the field.
AJ and Devontae were constantly beating their defensive backs, so they were constantly winning their matchups. It was just a matter of not making mistakes. The offense struggled, you know, for most of the day. You had the Grant Calcaterra penalty that killed a drive. You had the Eagles committing penalties on three consecutive plays. It was like first and 35 at one point on that one drive.
A joke, man.
You had AJ Brown's fumble. You had the three and out. That was just three straight Miles Sanders runs. The Eagles offense didn't do a lot of favors, and thankfully the defense kept them in the game. We'll get into that in a second. Jalen Hurts yesterday accounted for 276 of the Eagles' 314 total yards. That is 88% of the yards that Jalen Hurts accounted for yesterday, either rushing or passing. He obviously accounted for both touchdowns. On the day, Jalen Hurts 18 for 25, 190 yards and a touchdown, 107.1 passer rating, and added 16 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. That's his most rushing yards since week one when he had 90 yards. So he's taking it upon himself. Apparently, the Eagles and Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are taking it upon themselves to put more of the offense on the back of Jalen Hurts without Dallas Goedert. From Jalen Hurts' performance as a whole, and it's hard to say he's MVP now after what Pat Mahomes did last night, but how important now, Steven, is Jalen Hurts to this offense, especially when you're down a weapon and Hurts is basically putting the team on his back? It was because of him that the Eagles didn't lose yesterday. How impressed were you with the overall performance of Jalen Hurts yesterday, especially in his fourth quarter comeback effort?
Well, this ties into what I was saying earlier about context. Like, a lot of people will read the final score and see 17-16, and like you said, I believe his passing yards, while that may not be super high, if you actually watch the game, he was literally the only reason they were in this game. The offensive game plan was terrible. The defense did turn it around, but I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. That first drive was a complete joke and embarrassment that Gannon sent those guys out there with that scheme.
Only the first drive, though. Let's make it known that it was only the first drive. I'll sing my praises for Gannon later.
That's fine, but the vibes are terrible when you're coming off of an embarrassing loss at home. Like, that's just unacceptable. So, like, he doesn't get off the hook. So with that in mind, Hurts has to step onto the field with, down 7 points.
Right.
And very handicapped by the penalties in the first half, undisciplined football, terrible game plan. Hurts was phenomenal in this game. And my mindset, like throughout this game, was like, "Damn, it would be real. It would be a real shame if this team finds a way to lose because he's playing fabulous football." I thought accuracy wise, this was one of his better games. Like off the top of my head, I don't know how you felt about that. Just like
it was
great decision making, timing. Seemed confident. His eyes were down the field. Like it seemed like he really kept his eyes down the field. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Sometimes leaders have to do this, especially when your team is playing on discipline. I thought for sure he was going to have a moment where he was going to yell at somebody. That was the vibe I was getting. I was like, are we going to see a Jalen Hurts? Like,
well, it's two consecutive and I'd be okay with this.
Sometimes you
got to
do that shit, man.
It's two consecutive weeks where the offense, you know, they didn't do him any favors. Yet
that
Quez,
AJ Brown fumble is unacceptable, man.
AJ Brown fumble. There's a lot of things that the coaching staff and the players didn't really help him out. I fully believe Jalen Hurts would have had a chance to win last week's game as well. That Quez throw was essentially a game winning throw. That pass, and Quez just botched it. Like so
self-inflicting
he was
wounds
sure.
is what's hurt us the most these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he was making sure, like, I'm going to run this in the end zone. I got to put it in my own hands. I can't trust anybody else right now. So sometimes that's fine. That's what MVP caliber players do.
But yep. Yes,
the offense did it at the end of the day, and the defense came through for them as well. Nick Sirianni, very emotional after the game for his friend Frank Reich. Here's Sirianni after the game, explaining why he was so emotional to come away with the victory in Indianapolis.
I'm emotional because I love Frank Reich. I really do. And he's one of the best damn football coaches I've ever been around. So, yeah. I was hoping that him and I would be able to coach against each other in this game. But he's one of my biggest mentors. I got my dad, I got Larry Karras, and I got Frank Reich. And Frank's such a good football coach. And, yeah, you don't want to know what I think of if he should be here or not. But
so that is Nick Sirianni explaining why he was visibly fired up after the game. He was looking forward to coaching against Frank Reich. As we all know, the Colts let go of him a couple of weeks ago, allowing Jeff Saturday to be the interim head coach for now. And Sirianni is very upset that Reich was the casualty of just a bad football season all around for the Indianapolis Colts. So not to give some praise to the defense. So I just want to I understand the animosity towards Jonathan Gannon after that first drive, because Jonathan Taylor, 7 carries, 49 yards, and there's a lot of situations where players are out of position and things of that nature. But the Eagles only allow, after that, they didn't allow a single touchdown. And there is key plays where Gannon's defense allowed the Eagles to remain in the game, and the score probably should have been much worse. You got the Brandon Graham sack on Matt Ryan on the final possession that essentially sealed the game, held Indy to one touchdown. Obviously, they sacked Matt Ryan 4 times. They had the goal line stand in the fourth quarter where that forced the Colts to settle for a field goal in a situation where, like I mentioned earlier, if you score and make it 20-10 in that situation, the game is basically over. And you have the
well, look, man, can you agree he's at least open for criticism now?
No, he's open for no, I'm not saying he's like the best defensive coordinator in the league. I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
his defense is a big reason
obviously
why the Eagles even had a chance to win the game yesterday. After the opening drive, obviously Jonathan Taylor, the 49 yards and the touchdown on the opening drive, 39 yards on 15 carries, Jonathan Taylor was held to. After that, just 2.3 yards per carry. And a lot of that has to do with the new additions of Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, who combined for 7 tackles, 2 QB hits, and a sack in their Eagles debut versus the Colts. For two players that were, Joseph joined the team on Wednesday, Sue joined the team on Thursday, and they worked tirelessly to learn that playbook and to be able to play Sunday, and they made a heck of an impact in this game on Sunday. Stephen, we didn't get up here and talk about it when the moves were made, but how impressed were you to see these two veterans? I think Joseph is 34, Sue is 35. They got some gas left in the tank. They can still make some plays. How did it feel to watch those two guys stifle the run and get after the quarterback as the game went on?
Yeah, glad to see it, obviously, because that was just, that Washington game was one of the most frustrating things to watch them just repeatedly hand the ball off and just run it down our throats. It also feels good, like, a lot of times when you see these older guys get signed, you're kind of like, oh, they're just collecting one last check, right? But you can clearly tell both of these guys are very passionate and they want it, right? And they want to win, especially considering the fact that, like, they're new here to Philly. They don't really know these guys on the team or the coaches or anything. So, like, look, if they want it, I want, like, obviously I want it, you know what I'm saying? And I want guys who who won it. That's what we want here in Philly. So, but yeah, honestly, man, back to Gannon, I just think he's open for criticism. I just don't, it's hard. It's a constant debate I have with myself. I was like,
with yourself? Because you're not arguing with me about it.
Yeah, just, I don't know sometimes if it's like the talent he has on the defense or if it's actually him. It's probably both factored in, obviously. But I just think sometimes I just don't agree with what he's doing. I will most notably, I would say with the secondary, actually, I think he goes to the zone conservative scheme way too much. And it's clear like Darius Slay and even James Bradberry are much better playing man defense. And like, I wanted to tweet this so bad. It was kind of more of a question than actually coming at somebody. I was like, I was generally wondering because it seems like Slay's been getting beat the last 2 weeks, but I think it's the stupid scheme that this guy is running. Because every time Slay is actually matched up on somebody, I mean, well, he's the best corner in the NFL. The stats will tell you that. I definitely think the secondary is hurting by not having one of the best slot corners in the NFL healthy, too, by the way, Avante Maddox, who doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, Avante Maddox is certainly an essential piece to this defense. Josiah Scott is serviceable. He does his job. But these guys have been detrimental losses. Dallas Goedert, Avante Maddox.
There's Jordan a reason Davis, Maddox got extended, you know.
Of course, he's one of the better slot corners. One of the other good ones, Kenny Moore, plays for the Colts, and Quez was able to score on him. But nickel corners, they play more than just covering the opponent's slot receivers. They play a vital role in the run defense as well, and that's another reason why the defense has been suffering and susceptible to the run. But good to see them bottling a guy like Jonathan Taylor up in the final three quarters of the game, because you have guys like Aaron Jones and Derrick Henry coming up. You want to make sure you can stifle the run with another week for these guys to implement the playbook. I'm excited to see how the rotation is going to go. As far as snap counts are concerned, Linval Joseph played in 40% of the defensive snaps and Ndamukong Suh played in 17 snaps. Joseph got the start at nose tackle. And of course, Sue and Joseph were able to play together on a number of reps. They both combined for the one sack on Matt Ryan later in the game. A guy that I'm trying to figure out what his role is or what's even happening is Robert Quinn. 10 snaps yesterday. What's going on there? Is it just a slow grind?
Didn't Gannon have him back defense? In pass coverage last week? Like, what is last this guy week, doing, man?
For like a rep.
I don't care. That's his, like, whatever. Look, he is not.
He shouldn't be. No, I agree. He shouldn't never be
an NFL GM. I am not hiring this guy to be a head coach.
Yeah, probably not the better. Probably.
He's got to prove himself as a coordinator first.
The Eagles are likely losing them both coordinators after this season.
What makes a coach most successful? Let me ask you. And you give your definition.
Of what makes a coach successful? Putting their players in the best position to succeed. Yes. Putting your players in the best
position
to
succeed. And putting Robert Quinn in pass coverage does not do that. I don't care if it's a half a snap or 10 snaps. That is not winning football.
Yeah, but he's not making an impact no matter where he's lined up is the problem. They need to figure out if you're going to trade a fourth round pick for somebody, you better know how to use him. So I'm intrigued to see moving forward how Robert Quinn can figure out this defense. Because this is like the Chris Long thing, but like souped up. Like it's going to be a better version of Chris. No, we're not even getting that. It's more like Ryan Kerrigan right now is what's happening.
Oh, so boy.
I don't want that. Don't want that to happen. CJ Gardner-Johnson, his interception streak is over, but I feel like he was all over the field. I feel like every other tackle he was in there in the mix, and the guy hits hard.
They're going to penalize him that one time, man.
When you like clock the guy, right? It looked like it
because
the helmets
dumb.
were kind of close.
We finally get a hard hitter here, and it's like every time he makes a hit like that, you're worried they're going to throw the. I think the ref actually had his hand on the flag. Was that the play? Do you remember that?
Nah, I'm not sure, but there was one where I was definitely worried where he clocked the guy. But he's a hard hitter for a guy his size. He led the team yesterday with 10 tackles, and he is looking more and more like a complete safety with each passing week. Sad to see the interception streak not continue, but I'm liking more of what I'm seeing. From CJ Gardner-Johnson, Epps, Gardner-Johnson, Bradberry, and Slay all played 100% of the snaps yesterday.
Epps was the guy who stripped, what's his name? Jonathan Taylor,
yeah,
right?
Stripped it. TJ Edwards jumped on top of it. Marcus Epps is the only player on the Eagles to play every single snap for the Eagles this season. We got Malcolm Jenkins, Iron Man vibes over here with Marcus Epps. Another guy that's going to look to get paid in the offseason when we get to that point. I don't know if you noticed this, Steven, but Reed Blankenship might be above Kayvon Wallace on the depth chart. He had a key third down stop yesterday in his first defensive snap of his career. He was used as the sixth defensive back in dime personnel yesterday over Kayvon Wallace. So the less I have to watch Kayvon Wallace, the better. I'm pretty excited about that. One more takeaway from the I got two more because I need to give you flack for something. But Jack Stahl was far and away tight end one. He got the most snaps of all the tight ends. He had 81% of the snaps at tight end one yesterday. So that's that. And your boy Kenneth Gainwell saw the lowest snap count of the season at 16%. He's by the week, he's getting just phased out of this offense. What's going on, man? You know what's crazy is that the Eagles don't really run by committee anymore. It's really not a committee approach. It's Miles Sanders. Gainwell has like 84 yards. No, Boston Scott has like 80 yards this year. Gainwell
has like
150
yards. They run by stupidity, man, not committee.
Why? What's the problem? What's the problem with the rotation?
Why in a crucial game-winning drive is Boston Scott like running back in my rotation, he'd be running back five, getting three or four carries in a row when you have Jalen Hurts averaging 5 yards a carry and I think he averaged more than that. I mean, Miles hovers around 5 yards a carry every season of his career. Makes no sense.
Boston Scott's getting kick return duties now, you know, so because Britton Covey's obviously not the answer. So.
Wait, he's actually now getting kick return duty?
You didn't see him? Yeah, he's back there as kick return. Yeah.
Britton Covey returned everything.
He didn't return everything. There was a few snaps where Boston Scott was in there. Pay attention.
That guy's got to go, by the way. It'd be nice to have Jake. Never mind. I'm not going to do it.
Let's stop. The running back stats. Miles Sanders, 757 yards on the year. Kenneth Gainwell obviously other than Jalen Hurts. Kenneth Gainwell, 129 yards this year. Boston Scott, 84. Would be nice to bring in somebody else, and there is an option. There is an option. I wasn't going to bring it up until the
Where
end.
Where is the Gainwell hate coming from? Why do people hate him? He's a better running back than Boston
Scott. What does he do that inspires confidence that he should be carrying the ball?
He's a good receiving threat.
Okay.
Better than Boston Scott.
That bar is not very high with Boston
You need
Scott.
To develop him, too. Like, he doesn't get any opportunity. So, hey, if they want to waste his talent, go right ahead. Be my All guest.
Right.
Just
you
know,
go to the Gainwell will be dirty on the Chiefs, right? Wouldn't he? Mm. There is a running back.
Look what they're doing
available
with Kadarius Toney, man. Shout out to the Giants.
Yeah, well, we knew
way.
That.
What did you
we
waste
always
his
knew
talent?
That doesn't even shock me because Kadarius Toney is one of the shiftiest dudes in the NFL. He just didn't want to play for the Giants, and he was just lazy. And his hamstrings are made out of like 1990 rubber bands. Obviously, that's why he came out of the game last night.
Nice
so
game
he has woes.
Yesterday, by the way, Giants fans. Very nice game.
Yeah, great. Fantastic game from Dallas also, by the way, who killed the Vikings, literally killed the Vikings. So now we're in sole place of the first seed.
Which holds more weight
in the NFC.
Because they did it.
Yeah, not us. Not us, don't worry. Of course, Dallas
fans
are like,
that was a win-win for us,
we
man.
We beat them. Yeah, we needed the Vikings to lose in that scenario. The one rare instance where Dallas was better for Dallas to win. The one running back option, Steven, that is available now. Melvin Gordon. Do you want to think about it? You want to talk about a fumbling machine. 26 fumbles
yeah,
in
good.
His career. He's put the ball on the ground 5 times this season. That's
yeah,
most since his rookie year.
Which is more than we have the entire season, I believe.
Yeah, he is. He put one on the ground by the goal line yesterday. He had a goal line fumble, and Denver
here.
Had
nope.
enough of that. Denver
Don't
said,
even
yeah,
bring
I'm
it
done
up.
With this. I'm done with this. Hey, but the Eagles were, kicking the tires on some running backs at the deadline. Maybe they take a look. Take a look here. There's no other production other than Miles Sanders. Well, Jalen Hurts, obviously.
Where's like,
but other than that,
where's
need
Wendell
a tough
Smallwood
runner.
When you need him?
Oh, okay. Well, on that note.
Anybody, dude. I mean, I don't want Boston Scott carrying the ball in the fourth quarter of a football game where we need a win.
Yeah. Yeah. He shouldn't. He definitely shouldn't be getting the ball 3 times
we
in a row.
We should have just went empty set, and Jalen should have just ran it every time at that point. They should have just went empty set.
By the way, the Colts made a lot of weird decisions. There was like a 3rd-and-1 where they didn't run the ball and they had Matt Ryan pass it. They didn't even pick up Jalen Hurts whatsoever on the touchdown run. No guy was even containing him. So I think the Colts really tried to give us this game, and the Eagles gladly took it, making them 9-1 on the season. The Eagles are 9-1 for the 6th time in franchise history. All 5 times before that, they made the championship or the Super Bowl, depending on what year it was, 1949. They won the NFL championship 1960. They won the championship 1980. They made the Super Bowl, lost to the Raiders, I believe. 2004 made it, obviously lost to the Patriots, and 2017 won the Super Bowl. So let's see if the trend continues and they can go on a a Super Bowl run. Intrigued to see how Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh are as the week continues. They get more acclimated with the defense. Very excited to watch them as Jordan Davis returns. The return dates have been ironed out, kind of. Jordan Davis, they think he can return by the Titans game. That would be good to see him back for Derrick Henry. And Dallas Goedert is expected to return during the regular season, so he's not lost forever, which would, you know, the sooner the better. They're both on IR, so Dallas Goedert's gone for at least the next three games. We have to live one more week without Jordan Davis for this Packers game, and then hopefully he can return for the Titans. The Eagles in sole place of the NFC. They own a head-to-head tiebreaker over Minnesota, so that's a nice little two-game cushion for them. Steven, any final things you want to hit on before we put a bow on this one, wrap this up, and get ready to watch some film on what exactly even happened in this game?
I mean, I'll just conclude on this. As frustrated as I am with the last two games, this is the reality of the NFL. There's a lot of loser energy, I would say, going on during these last two games for sure. I'm frustrated. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm frustrated. But look, you know, these are things that have to get cleaned up. The whole stopping the run thing, I'm glad this has happened because now we have to adjust and figure out how to stop it. Because guess what? Playoff football, that's going to be a recipe for success for both teams, the Eagles and their opponents, because it gets cold. It gets cold that time of year. You got to be able to run the football. Especially at the link, man, we can control that situation. You know, God forbid, we better lock up that one seed. I want the one seed. All right. I want the one seed. So thank you, Dallas. I appreciate that. Probably pretty pumped after that game. I know we were pumped after we beat Minnesota. Even though y'all said that one doesn't hold the same weight as yours, that's fine. Whatever. just good tests, you know, for this team, face adversity. And the coaching staff too, by the way. There's so much like skill-related things we talk about in football and everything, but like the mental part of it's the most important, always will be. And the fact that this team has been dealing with some adversity, I think, is good for the coaching staff too. Steichen, don't ever call a game like that again, and especially don't ever call a fourth quarter like that again. You're lucky your MVP quarterback bailed you out because he has the ability to run with his legs, which is a weapon. And it makes him a great fucking player, okay? It makes him a great player. Internal temperature's too high.
See, as soon as you say that.
Because I'm spitting too much fire.
Spitting too much fire. Now the camera's on fire. Thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah. Well, good. Better to face adversity now than to have your first sight of adversity in the postseason.
Yeah, this is the boring time of the season.
Everybody was like, we didn't want to lose. We didn't want to go into the postseason undefeated. Blah, 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 blah. So now we have all this adversity. We'll see how they respond. You got Sunday night against the Packers, and then you got Tennessee, and then we'll still got to see the Giants twice. Who just got decimated. Who they just lose to? They just got thwarted.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews, rate 5 stars so that we can continue to spread the word of the Philly Pod, the most intelligent, the best Philadelphia sports podcast in the city. Follow me, Victor Williams, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Steven, at Steven Conrad Jr. This is the Philly Pod on thelibertyline.com. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.